Yeah, what's up, what's up? Yeah, we back. You know what I'm saying? Another episode of Fresh and Fit Ohio. You know what I mean? Bringing it back. We really got to think about this, man. I know we talk about this every week. But the other Fresh and Fit is just taking L's. They taking L's left and right. And I kind of want to disassociate myself from them because... You know, we not part of them. We don't think like them. We not really along with their line of thinking, their judgment. Like, we just not, you know what I'm saying? So we just only rock with them. So it's like, I feel that, like, we should disassociate, bro. I know it was an offer on the table, but, you know what I mean?
Look, man, you recently did something that I did a while ago, and that was engage with some of the trolls on the page, you know? We don't know who these people are. It's probably just some random people. But, yeah.
All right, so hey, look, but bump all that, man. We got the most interesting man.
That's what they say.
The most interesting man in the world right now here, y'all. Tyler James, aka At Body Mechanics, in the building, y'all. Let's go.
It would have been really funny if you hit the wrong button.
I can't hit the wrong button because I got it all labeled.
No, you can still make mistakes.
But why would I?
I'm saying it would have been funny if you're like. And then you hit the horror button.
You know what? Doing this interview with you was a mistake.
Did you wear a sleeveless shirt on purpose?
No.
So you put on accident?
Yes.
You're a liar.
I feel like that's a dumb question because.
Yeah, I set you up.
Yeah.
It's all right, man. It's good to meet you, man.
It's good to meet you too, man.
It's funny. Before, so, I mean, you're. Internet famous, is that a thing?
Yeah, I would say
social media famous.
I would say IG famous.
Well, yeah, because I've seen videos of yours, and I remember the first time I saw it, I was like, "Yo, what is going on right now?"
Like, it's a lot happening.
Yeah, it's a lot happening. And then James like, "Hey, we're gonna have him on the show." I'm like, "All right, cool, that's what's up." So appreciate you being here. Appreciate you being on the show.
Enjoy being here.
What is for all of us? What's the best thing you did today? Best thing you did today.
It's too strange.
I ate and I ran. That's the best thing I did today.
Yeah.
Besides waking up, like that was like the best thing you could possibly do is wake up. But after that, that's probably the best thing I did today. I got to run in, and it's so hard to run on Sundays.
Bro, Sundays are my long day. Sundays are my long day when I do my long run. So today was only like 9 miles. So
only.
Yeah. So it's like.
It's funny that you said only 9 miles when probably what 3 months ago,
yeah,
2 months ago,
9 miles would have been a.
You would have been like what?
Yeah, but 9 miles is like a lighter day because I had to like. I went through one cycle, now I'm starting a whole nother cycle. But I'm faster now. My times are better. I'm faster. I'm a
little
lighter.
You're in the home stretch, your first marathon.
First marathon.
It's so funny. I don't remember how it actually came about, but it was on the show. We called him out about doing a marathon. And now he's been training for it.
Yeah, I know. And that's like a big deal. Like marathons, I'm like, who wants to just run for a long
for 26
time?
Miles, bro? It's pretty stupid.
Yeah, like
I'm ain't gonna lie, I'm over it.
I know some people don't even get that much gas mileage. Like, are you doing 26 miles?
Yeah, I don't always like driving 26 miles. But I like to ride my bike for 26 miles. But that's neither here nor there. What about you, James? What's the best thing you did today?
Best thing I did today, I would say go to church. You know what I'm saying? I went to, you know, I don't want to get all religious on here. I know some of y'all don't be liking that, but, you know.
Man, do whatever you want.
I went to church today. And, you know, I go to the Word Church, and he's talking serious about relationships, and it was pretty good, man. Pretty impactful stuff. Some stuff that, you know, I think every man should know. I think one of the reasons why I go to the Word Church is because there's a lot of brothers like me in there. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of men there, a lot of positive men. Pastor Vernon is a man that's like a pretty upstanding citizen. You know what I'm saying? So like how he loved his wife, that's something I always admired. Always admired a man loving a woman and like no stains on him. You know what I'm saying? Besides people saying, oh, he's stealing money. He this, he that. I mean, but that's what they're going to say about pastors.
Yeah.
No stain on them, like no scandal, nothing like that. So I just rock with them. So I rock with them like that for that reason. So I like going to that church because a lot of like strong, masculine men there, because like a lot of churches in the past you would go to, it'd be a lot of like sissies and stuff like that, and I don't really rock with that, like, you know what I'm saying? So I don't get with that. So I really enjoyed my experience there. So I would say that, and then because I had my family there with me too, you know what I'm saying? So it was cool.
It's good. Yeah, I like. Yeah, man. And we're both what, in our 30s, mid to late 30s. Well, you're what? You're 40.
I'm not 40 yet. I'll be 40 in July.
Just sneak up on that door. No, I think we, you know, we both, I think, have a similar background as far as church goes, and obviously we are part of the same church for a while. But yeah, I'm seeing the value of being a part of a church community.
Yeah.
Regardless of how you view life here on earth and an afterlife, or you know, whatever, I think it's important to be a part of a community where there's accountability, where you have an opportunity to be served and to serve. So, yeah, that's awesome, man. I'm glad you're there with your family too.
Yeah. So accountability is everything. I want to bring in our guest, Todd. Todd is again, like I said, the most interesting man alive.
Thanks,
Ian. Todd goes so hard on the boxing side. I know he's grinding like that. I've also seen him training, like, strength and conditioning wise. He's at a, how many amateur fights you got now?
I got six.
You got six,
yeah,
then?
Yeah.
Man, time flies, bro. You hadn't even had your first fight when I got to the gym.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and you got six fights in like less than 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy, bro. So shout out to Ty for that. Ty also, y'all might know him, you know what I'm saying, for doing these. What would you call your massage style?
I like to call them essential massages because, it makes it seem like, okay, understandable. It don't scare people away, because a lot of people I get used to be like, I'm so scared to come, or I want to come but I'm scared. And I'm like, it ain't nothing to fear, but I think we put a certain label behind it.
What they scared of? They scared they go slip and fall on your bean?
It's possible. Like, I mean, maybe so. You know, like, I don't know. You know, I never really asked, but, you know, I just, you know, go by what I think.
So how did this fall? This is going to sound funny. How did this fall into your lap?
How did you get into this style of massaging?
So, James, as you know, I'm a man who does everything, yeah, or try everything. So I've been doing massage therapy. So what a lot of people don't know, like, I went to school for massage therapy. I was licensed. I worked at a spa. I managed a spa. Worked at a chiropractor. Did medical massage. So I never really ventured on working on my own. I was like, I managed the spa. I know the background. I know the money. I know everything about it. I was like, it ain't really what people make it seem. So when the pandemic hit, actually, like, me and my ex split up. I was like, well, let me see if I can work on my own a bit. So when the pandemic hit, you know, everything shut down. I already kind of was like venturous and stuff, because actually, like, I had seen a guy do it like years before I started. And this was like prime Facebook day. I don't think Instagram was even out when I seen this for the first time. And I ended up taking that and saying, hey, well, maybe I can do something like this or whatever. You know, it's not really popular right now. I might as well just go ahead and give it a try. So with that, I ended up pretty much just going for it. I ended up, the spas closed down. There was no money circulating. I gave it a try, and I just kept getting all these hits like, what's this? What's that? Like, is this really a thing? Like, people thought it was a joke for a long time. And then the booking started happening. And then I kept getting requests from, like, different cities and different states and different countries. So I was like, well, maybe this is a thing. Maybe I should just keep pushing this.
So you're overseas with this now?
I haven't made it yet, okay, but I got a lot of requests. I really want to go to the UK, man. I get a lot of requests.
I love the UK.
You probably got requests from this. Anywhere that they know that this is a thing.
So
what was your first appointment like?
I was nervous, which is crazy.
You was nervous?
I was nervous, and mind you, at that time I had been doing massage therapy for 4 years. Like, I had like thousands of clients, you know, thousands of appointments. My first one, I was like real nervous. I was like, and to this day, I'm like, I don't know why. Like, I'm so used to doing this. It just was a different setting. It wasn't me working at a spa. It wasn't me working at a job. It was like kind of like all on me. So it just was like real, like, I don't know. I think I got it over that after that first appointment. Like, I didn't feel it after that. But that first one, I remember being nervous. I don't know, maybe because it was just like all the energy of something new or something big being created that I didn't know was being created at the time.
I know you got a lot of questions.
A lot of questions. Because some of the girls in the gym always give you a hard time because they feel like you only massage like bigger girls. Is that the truth, or is that like, or do you massage like all shapes and sizes?
So it's really all shapes and sizes. So the thing is when I do promos, people ask me, you know, for content, like, hey, I want to do a video with you. I'm like, all right. Or sometimes I might ask certain people.
Okay.
But it'd be more open of who's open to being on camera on the internet. You know, I mean, having a podcast, you know how crazy the internet can be. You know, if you are on social media, you know how brutal comments can be for people that it's not even real people. So,
100%.
Not even real people.
So, I massage all bodies, all shape sizes, small, big, large.
Do you have a weight limit?
I don't have a weight limit, and trust me, I don't have a weight limit.
Okay.
Like, my table don't really have a weight limit. Me and my table been rocking for years, and she ain't feel me yet.
Do you have names for those moves? Do you have, like, I'm about to hit you with the...
That's a good one.
So, I don't got names, and that's crazy. I should probably think of that.
You should start...
Listen, hey. You need to, because then people are going to start messaging you, like, hey, I saw you do, and they're going to start saying these names, and you'll be like, I'm telling you, man, you're going and patent that.
Yeah, I think I need the names
thing.
Now.
Yeah, and since
like you're a WWE wrestler, like,
yeah, and since he body rock mechanic, like, he maybe he can use like different type of like auto body.
Yeah, like, yeah, you want your tires rotated.
Yeah, I'm right. Yeah,
you roll with your axle.
I gotta roll with that.
You need that axle adjustment.
You want your oil change? You know,
hey, we in the money. We in the money now.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
That's funny.
So the reason why I say the most interesting man in the world, bro, this dude do everything, man. I mean, so like, so on top of these massages, man, this guy rescues animals.
That's beautiful.
He rescued, bro. How did you even think to rescue these baby raccoons, man? I seen on your page that you rescued.
So the baby possums. So baby crazy possums, story about the baby possums is. Actually, I walked out in the morning on my way to the gym. It's like 7 in the morning. And I see this dead mom. Like, she just got hit. Like, literally. Mm. So I'm like, damn. All right. You know, I had made the video. And then I went to the gym. So I had posted the video. They was like, go save the baby possums. I'm like, all right. Like, all right, I go home or whatever. Because it was only one that fell out. So I was like, it ain't going to be there when I get back, whatever. So, I train, leave the gym, go home. And I go look out there, and I think that one had died. But then, I'm like, y'all, see, I moved the mom. And I opened the stomach. It's like 7 or 8 of them in.
Wait, time out. Because you just said that, and then you just made a hand motion. Yeah. And I want to make sure that what you just did is what. So you took your hands and you ripped the belly open like that?
Like, it's so.
I'll let you finish, but I've had a very similar experience with a possum.
You say some possum babies?
I said similar, not the same. I'll talk about it in a second.
So, you know, possums is the same thing as kangaroos. They carry their babies. They have them, then they put them inside their stomach and then go live their life. It's crazy what animals can do for real.
Huh. Yeah.
And their nipples are inside, so it gets eating and they get bigger and bigger. Until they get on their back, you see them videos when they look like all these things is on top of something. But yeah, like I seen it, you know, I opened up the stomach. I was like, oh, there's a baby in there. You know, it kind of whined. So, you know, if anybody seen the video, I go in, I'm 1, 2, I'm putting them all in like this basket because the mom is dead. Like, you know, what do I do from here? Ended up contacting Wildlife Research Center in Solon, I think, or Bay Village. I can't remember where it was at, but I know it was far out. You know, where they reserve and rescue stuff. They came and picked them up. Contacted a friend who's a nurse and had her transport them over or whatever. And they, as far as I know, they made it. You know, they got released in the wild, and they gonna come see me one day, hopefully.
Listen, I had a similar beginning and a very different ending to that story. I saw one in my driveway once.
And you hit it?
No. I'm imagining that it got hit in the street and was trying to get to safety, and then didn't make it, but ended up in the driveway. The person I was with at the time was like, why don't you go check on it. And I'm like, yeah, I think it's probably playing possum. Like, I'm not about to go out there.
That's like what they do. Possums.
Yeah.
That's where the expression came. Did you just have an aha moment?
No. Okay. I just thought that you was just.
So I let it. So I let, because I didn't know if I was going to go out there and it was going to be alive. And I wasn't willing to find out.
Yeah.
Until later in the day when it was still there. I rolled, I like took a shovel, like gently rolled the mother over because it was on its stomach. And just like you said, man, it was crazy. A little, it was a hole in its stomach and a bunch of little baby possum. One fell out.
Yeah.
I did not.
Oh, you didn't reach in there a second. No.
He just went back
to the house. That thought did not cross my mind.
He's like, yeah, well, nature will take its course.
None of them were, I mean,
man, you are.
None of them were moving. I didn't know if they were alive or not. I figured they were probably.
Probably body in, yeah.
I don't know.
Mine been dead.
No, I mean, not like they were scurrying away trying to.
You ain't real, bro. You ain't saying what you have done.
I'm not like Ty. Ty's a better man than me when it comes to possums.
I would have called APL or something, but you would have
gotten your phone out.
No, I would have got the APL. I would have called the APL.
Made a video. Posted it.
No.
That's what I would have did. I mean, that's exactly what I did. So, you know.
But you actually
but saved you them. Did it while you were saving them.
Yeah.
You actually saved it. So on top of that, you also like breed animals too.
Yeah. So I was breeding German Shepherds for a while. And now I breed Maine Coon cats, so the biggest domestic cat you can own in the U.S.
I've never heard of those cats until you. Like, I've never seen those cats before until your page, bro.
A lot of people haven't. Actually, like, a lot of vets haven't seen them. So when I take them to the vet, I'd be like, I have a Maine Coon. They're like, yeah, whatever. And then I bring the cat in. They was like, oh, it's a real Maine Coon.
Oh, they think like, you're faking.
Yeah, because a lot of people think I have a big cat. It's a Maine Coon. And it's like, nah, you're missing the ear tufts. You're missing the size. You're missing the facial features. It's just a big-ass cat at the end of the day. But when you see a Maine Coon, you know. Like, it's just like. It's kind of
it's massive.
Yeah, are they normal to this region? Like, are they?
Yeah. So actually, they're actually from Maine. So they were in Maine. It was barn cats. They was made to catch mice. Well, they was used to catch mice and everything. And they're very big, very friendly. So people would keep them in their barns. They would like feed them, you know, because when they have a lot of animals, mice come, et cetera, et cetera. But the breed kind of just started withering out. And whatnot. So they still sell them a lot in the U.S., but they're sold a lot in like Russia and Ukraine. So all my cats came imported from out the country.
Mm.
Yeah.
So you breeding these cats like now, bro? I don't want to get too personal. All
right.
I just want to get too personal, but I want to ask you.
Yeah.
So you do these massages.
Yeah.
Right. These massages, right? We ain't even get to the boxing yet. We ain't even get there yet. So you do these massages. You got these. Animals that you breed, all these different things that you have, do they seem counterproductive to a dating life?
Actually, it's not though. Like,
it's not? Okay.
So, I think I always tell people, like, the biggest part of it is, like, honestly, just knowing what's up. At the end of the day, when you come to me, you know, this is what I do for a living. This is what's going on. You know, I'm going to tell you what it is, and you can decide from there, you know, whatever.
Right, right.
But, you know, like, I have... We dating somebody. Didn't like cats. Was not a cat person.
That's not gonna work.
But it's crazy. Like, they end up loving cats.
Wow. After,
you know, and they ask about them and want to see them and touch them and stuff like that. But they was just like not a cat person. Like, cats are just disgusting. They're bad. Like,
now you know.
How long are the cats?
So they get about 3.5 to 4 feet. Yeah. Yeah, about the size of a pit terrier.
That's crazy. How many do you have right now?
Have five right now. Oh. Well, I have five right now. Then I have five kittens, which will be going home soon.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what's up, man. That's amazing, man.
Right. That's longer than Samson,
bro.
I got a wiener dog. Samson up.
Yeah. Oh, I got a wiener definitely. Dog.
Yeah,
that Terry Samson
like,
little boy,
bigger than like Yorkies, like all them little dogs. Like my one of my males is 19 pounds of muscle. Like there's no fat on him.
But they seem to be kind of chill though.
They are. Okay. They're really really chill. Like that's why like a lot of people like them. They're like dogs but in cat form. Like you train them to do stuff and they not like super zippy. You know, they play. You know, just like all cats that play. But they're not like swinging from your curtains, you know, and doing stuff like that.
Do you have any reptiles?
No, so I did reptiles when I was a kid.
Okay.
I'm done with that. That's a past chapter of my life.
I saw a dude with like a gecko or like a, it's not a gecko, a
iguana.
Iguana. But the iguana acted like a dog. It was so funny.
On a leash.
Yeah, it was on a leash and everything. But he acted like a dog. Like it like would climb up. It would beg for stuff. Like it was.
Yeah. I did see me pretty big.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Pretty interesting, man. So
you got any pets?
We have a pet turtle.
Oh, hey, next time when I ask you if you have a pet, just say no.
So let me tell you why we got a pet turtle. So I have a brother with special needs. He's
wow, man, else. you really led that in. Now I feel terrible.
Yeah.
How you set that up.
Well, you should.
Thanks.
Okay, so I have a brother with special needs, and don't feel terrible after I say what I say. So, and he has a pet turtle, right? He has a pet turtle. So his pet turtle is like, her name like Miss Alabama. And so she's been around for like 3-4 years. I'm just like, if my brother with special needs can take care of a turtle, I can take care of one. Oh my God.
There it is.
So you went now and got a turtle.
Now I don't feel bad.
So I got a turtle because I was like, because I got two little girls. Man.
He can do it. I can
they
do it.
Two and four. I'm not ready to have a dog just yet. You know what I'm saying?
That's life.
A dog or something. Because I definitely want a bulldog. But I was like, if they need a pet, they need some type of responsibility. All they gotta do is like feed it some little lettuce every day, clean a little bowl out every once in a while. We can do that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I was like, we're gonna get a turtle because if my brother with special needs could take care of one, I could take care of one. And I was like, we can make this happen, man. So that's why I went with the turtle, man.
Yeah, my dog runs my life.
Yeah, you do a lot with Samson, bro.
I do, but I enjoy it too.
What kind of dog is Samson?
He's a
wiener.
Oh, you did say
miniature long haired Dachshund. Yeah. He's about 17 pounds.
Yeah.
Do you have any dogs to deal? Are you just,
yeah, I still got dogs.
What type of dogs you got?
So I got two German Shepherds in a pit.
Oh, in a pit. Wow. How do they get along?
So, well, as far as like with the cats or just with each other?
With each other.
Oh, well, my pit is my oldest. She's 10.
Okay, so she's chilling.
She's chilling okay. All the time. She's like nap, eat, sleep outside, nap some more. You know, Milo, he's 3. He's the powerhouse. He's jumping. He's energetic. And then, Shelby, she's 5.
Okay.
Shelby and Milo get together well, but Brownie, she tolerates Milo because he's just so big over.
Yeah.
You know, he just runs in, jumps, and knocks her all over the place. She's like, I'm like 1,000 years old.
Right.
In dog years. Please don't do this to me.
Chill on me, little boy.
How long do those cats live?
Standard cats, 14, 15 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know German Shepherds. They don't. Like less than 10, maybe.
Yeah, if you get like 11 or 12, you're lucky.
Okay.
You know, hip dysplasia normally takes them out. You know, early 8, 9. Besides that, you know, they have a healthy life. They can live a little bit young, older. You know, but a lot of it be like obesity and just getting tired. You know.
You know what intrigues me. I don't know anybody here. I'm not saying there isn't, but I don't know anybody here who does this. I have seen this guy on Instagram in Germany. Chiropractor for animals.
Oh, I seen that, man. That's crazy.
I mean, this big, like he looks like Goldberg. Remember the wrestler Goldberg? He looks like him.
It's very interesting. It's like chiropractor for pets.
I've seen cats. I've seen,
but the
big
pets,
dogs.
They do look relieved after
they
he
do. But did they ask for this?
Yeah. How do you? I want to know how do you know that your animal needs. They're back.
Well, sometimes them animals be walking funny or doing something weird or something. I don't know.
But just think about it. Like, I mean, you may never have, like, animals for real, but everybody, you know, you never had nobody, like, animal that needed to be cracked. Like,
I used to have a lot of dogs all the time growing up, so I know, but I don't remember nothing.
Like, yeah, like, I, could you imagine, like, your dog and, like, his neck adjusting? He, like...
What you doing to me?
Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie. I was watching the videos one day. I was looking at Samson like, let me just... Try your arm real quick.
Right. just one
check
time.
Him out. That would be so bad.
Now, when you're not rubbing your hands on a woman, neck,
whoa, bro, your
body,
transition game.
What? Neck, body, thighs, butt. you putting hands on dudes.
When you're not in the garage.
Rotating the tires on them girls.
Putting the rims on.
You putting hands on people. And you putting hands on dudes in the ring. So what got you into boxing?
So I always wanted to box, which is crazy. Like my whole life I wanted to box. And when I was younger, I just wasn't in the right predicament to box, you know, where I could have boxed from wasn't the best place for me to go at the time. So it just never happened, you know. Like, I didn't really have nobody to kind of really to be like, you know what, we'll make it work for you. Like, I'll get you somewhere where you can box safely. So ended up me and BP, like 2019, 2020. Little better 2020. Ended up picking up as far as work. I just was working for myself. And I told myself, I said, well, you know, you're going to take some time for you, for something that you want to do. You know, you're going to block out your schedule, and you're going to find something that you want to do. And it was boxing. So I ended up definitely just taking off the time, not to work, not taking no appointments, tell people just not, because I wanted to box and wanted to learn it. And then it transitioned into me actually really fighting, which was never the plan.
Yo, that's crazy, because I think, like, I kind of have some of that in me, too. Like, I'd be like, man, I want to try this. I want to do that. I always want to do this, do that. Like, because I found myself, I bought a skateboard when I was, like, 30.
30?
Yeah. Because I wanted a skateboard, bro. So, yeah. So, I feel it.
So, did you?
Yeah, I did a skateboard for a little bit. For about a year, man.
I did that with a guitar right before COVID. I wanted to do something different. Bought a guitar. Yeah, practiced it for a month. And now it just hangs on my wall.
For real?
But it's kind of cool, though. It's like kind of like...
It's a good conversation starter, too.
Yeah. Not so much. It's a bad conversation starter, because I have to tell them that I bought it, and it's been on the wall more than I played it.
But it's still interesting.
But it's cool decor.
A guitar is cool decor.
I bought a glove a few years ago.
For what?
Yeah, like, to play catch.
Oh, a baseball glove.
You got to leave with the gloves.
What other glove did you think I made?
I bought a glove, and I'm like, a glove.
I didn't say gloves. I said a glove.
That's what made it worse.
Yeah, like, who buys a glove?
Somebody who wants to play catch.
I was like, oh.
He wanted to be
O.J. Simpson, so he bought a glove. Oh, wow. Okay, you know.
Do you think O.J. had one glove, or you think he just couldn't find his other glove?
As a former football player, I always lost my glove. So
I'm quite sure that
he definitely lost one of the gloves. Yeah, that's absolutely crazy. But you know, it's not as crazy as you buying a glove. Yeah.
I bought a baseball glove.
So who you play? Who you playing?
My brother
Samson.
Who you playing?
Hey, that would be raw if Samson. Samson's got like 3, maybe 4 good fetches in him before he's like, all right, I'm done.
I'm like, a big Air Bud fan, pretty cool.
What's your top three favorite dog movies? If you had three.
Beethoven.
Wait, I'm sorry. What did you just say?
Beethoven.
I'm supposed to say Beethoven.
Yo, that's worse than me saying breakfast.
All right, so Beethoven. What other dog movie? I can't think of a dog movie.
I was in here with Mike Tyson for a second.
I thought you were playing, bro. I thought you were being funny.
No, I was like, I thought you were supposed to say it.
This is another episode of The Fresh and Fit.
Cleveland Heights, you failed.
Oh, man. Cleveland Heights, where you at? Don't blame them. Don't blame that city. They didn't do this to you. Homeward Bound as a kid.
Homeward Bound.
Did you ever see Homeward Bound?
Yeah, I seen Homeward Bound.
I think I might have liked
with the ugly cat.
No, the Sandlot.
Bro, no.
Sandlot.
Stop. Are we calling the Sandlot a dog movie?
It don't count.
I think we can count it, though, because it was a major.
The dog was a major.
Okay. Yeah, because the balls went over the fence, so, you know.
Okay. All right, I'll give that one to you.
And Cujo.
Okay, so look. A Dog's Purpose. Have anybody seen A Dog's Purpose?
Lady and the Tramp. Lady and the Tramp. I used to love that movie as a kid.
You lost privileges. I'm just glad you said it right. I say Lady and the Twamp. Yeah, is that the one where the dog is like bouncing from different bodies?
Yeah, like when it died, he getting reincarnated.
Yes.
So
that was a good one.
Yeah, because it was crazy how he comes back to his first family.
Yes. Yes.
And like he had the same like traits and whatever, and just having been an animal owner, seeing other dogs or like having like another animal. Similar traits of like the past animal, like I got like my dogs have puppies then, like they show certain traits of their parents, so it was like really a thing, but that was like a whole spiritual thing, but it was just, it was a pretty good movie. So
pets.
Okay. Alright.
Okay.
Alright. Okay. Go ahead.
Air Bud, of course. I mean, I can't really say which one because I like them all.
Those are classics.
Yeah.
The 90s produced some really classic movies.
They did.
What about, did you see The Art of Racing in the Rain?
Haven't.
It's actually based off a book, but that's a really good one.
So, The Art of Racing in the Rain sounds real.
It's a guy who he's a like a
romantic.
I wouldn't use the word romantic.
I mean, it's giving me romantic vibes.
Watch it, bro, with your turtle.
Okay.
So my last movie, I'm gonna take one out your book. I Am Legend. I Am Legend.
Respect. Yeah. That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That to me, like, really encapsulates the relationship between a man and his
dog. It does, because it's nobody else. It's nobody else.
Yeah.
And the worst part, like, when he died, he has, like, to choke him, break his neck, and he just, like, that's it. I have nobody else. This is me talking to myself.
Now, my dog is 3, and Lord willing, he's going to live at least to be 103. But, I get caught up watching these videos on Instagram where, like, people are, you know, they had to put their pet down or whatever.
Why would you watch that?
You know, it comes up in your with your algorithm, you know? And I'd be like, man, I'd be looking at my dog like, I can't do this.
So, listen, so I had to do it once so far. Mm. And, of course, I'm going to have to possibly do it another 3 more times. So, a breeder of a German Shepherd, he's an older guy, older couple, they was retiring, called me because I'm that guy.
Yeah.
Hey, return. Do you want our dogs? So I was like, I'll take one, you know, because they had all these German Shepherds. So go pick him up. Bear was a great dog. He was actually one of my greatest German Shepherds because he was so old and just like, okay, I do German Shepherd things, but I'm a chill. Like, yeah, I'm not going to jump on you because I'm 92 pounds and my hips hurt. Like, I'm a chill. So, had him for about 8 months and then, like, he was straining to use it. So I take him to the vet. And this is the worst part I'm going to tell you about euthanizing your dog. You take him to the vet and they're smiling, they're going in, they're walking around, and they say, well, he's not going to leave today. And it's just like, okay, and they tell you why. They give you all the reasons why, you know, because normally it got to be a reason, like they can't fix it. And when I put him, you know, I agreed to euthanization. And I didn't think it was going to hurt me because, you know, I only had him for so long. He really was just like a, needed somewhere to stay until he passed on because I didn't want to go to a bad home. And it hurts you because you're laying there with them. And they're like smiling. They give them the first drug, which makes them all doped up. And they give them another drug, and they just go to sleep. And it's like when you look at your dog sleep, and you know it's gonna wake up, but he just is just it. Like, and then you make you feel like you killed your dog almost. You know, they give you this little pamphlet, how to grieve and how to cope with death. It's a really hard time. I mean, you have a long way, but when it happens, like my other dogs that I had since 6 weeks, and they're 10 years old, I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
That just hurt my feelings right there, bro. I ain't going home.
I still think about when we had to put our childhood dog down.
That hurt my feelings.
We had him, our family had him from when I was 5 or 6 to 18. And I still, more so before I got the dog I have now, but would think about it, man. And just, you know, because they're such a big part of your life. Like, I have a niece and nephew, no kids of my own. I know you do. So I don't know quite what that kind of feeling is. I have no idea, nor do I even. And I'm not even going to be one of those people that says, I go, like, your dog is your kid. Because I know that's not even comparable.
It doesn't compare to something that came out of your sack.
Right.
It's comparable.
That's something that came out your sack. Boy, stop.
It's comparable.
It's comparable?
It's comparable. I mean, there's definitely a large gap, but it's comparable.
Okay. There are some parallels, I will say.
Yeah, you have to own or not have it. You have to have a pet and have to have it for so long. Like, have you had Samson as a puppy?
Yeah.
So, you know certain things, certain characteristics, certain things that your dog do. Like, my dog Brownie always runs away. She always smiles. She naps all day. She has certain characteristics.
Yeah.
You know, Shelby's always smiling. If I walk past her, she's going to roll on her back so I can rub her belly every single time. It's certain things, and they become your children because they are like toddlers and never grow up. Honestly, you got to take care of them still, but they still can be independent, but they're not fully independent.
Yeah.
Like, you know. They can use the bathroom now. You don't got to keep changing them, right. But at the same time, you got to.
Still need you. Yeah, still need them. You got to wash them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's certain parallels. But I understand where you're coming from, too.
Yeah.
Having both.
Yeah, bro. Like, having a kid, bro, is like the most fulfilling thing in the world. I would say that because, like, as they grow, like my 2-year-old, she's starting to, like, speak in complete sentences now. Ooh. And it's like, and first of all, she won't be quiet. Like, she's talking.
That's Madison,
bro.
Right?
Madison, yeah. Madison is 1,000 miles per hour. Because she's starting to speak in complete sentences, which I just struggled with to do just then. But it's just amazing to, like, hear her, like, her cognition and, like, how it improves and, like, how she's able to, like, receive information and then, like, regurgitate it, different things. So, like, I'm in awe, you know, seeing my oldest daughter. She's 4 now. She goes to school and how she, like, comes home and tells me stuff and things like that. I think, like, so, like, and people always tell me, like, oh, this time goes by fast. So I try my best to try to, like, take it all in, like, just really enjoy them being this young and being this, like, you know, impressionable before they get to, like, teenage years. Now I don't want to be bothered with me. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just trying to, like, enjoy this little time that we got. So that's it. But I wanted to shift gears just a little bit, if that's okay with you. Because I feel like we're about to get sad. And I don't want to get sad. But y'all, yeah. I need to brought me down up in here. So we had a friend who used to do massages. He did admit. He did male and females. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So one time,
we should have had him here too.
He did a dude massage, and we talked about it on one of our podcast episodes. Probably the funniest episode of all time. Probably the funniest. That's the funniest episode we ever did because it was like nonstop laugh. So we talked about this on the episode. So one time, a guy got
popped ten
on him. You know what I'm saying? Two popped 10 on him, right?
Yeah.
So he never told me whether or not he completed 30 minutes of massage.
I don't even want to know.
I keep asking him. Every time I ask him about it, I'd be like, so sometimes I randomly call him. I'd be like, hey, yo, bro, when old boy got hard on you, did you finish the massage? And he hang up on me. He hang up on me right away. So, like, he never would tell me. So, I'm assuming that he's done it. So, do you do guys and girls?
Yeah.
But you don't do that sensual stuff with guys?
No.
No, of course not, right? Like, this can't happen.
No,
thank you. Thank you for saying that. So, yeah. have guys inquired, though, about that?
Yeah.
And how do you deal with that?
I just simply say, like, I don't prefer by the service. So it's whenever, like, a guy, like, inquire about a massage, the first thing I let him know, like, it's not the same exact massage, you know?
Right.
Like, I can't just, you know, guess your sexuality or whatnot.
Yeah.
But I can just assume, you know, if you want this from a guy.
You see on my page, yeah, bro. You see what I'm...
Yeah, so, you know, but sometimes, you know, I will get a guy here and there, whatever. A lot of athletes or whatnot, because a lot of women don't give enough pressure.
Yeah.
And I still simply just tell them, like, you know, it's not the same. The same.
Just because they're athletes don't mean that they ain't got no... no twinkle in the eye, bro. Don't get it twisted. I'm athletes, be.
we talked about this off and on before with past guests about relationships and, you know, being secure in your role and your partner's role and whatnot. Have you found in your like this relationship life that it's you've had some issues with people
insecure,
being insecure, or I would even say clients, spouses, or who their significant others. Have you run into any situation? Because I know you got a funny video where you like you're posing as someone walking in on their spouse getting massaged by you. So I gotta wonder like that wasn't as made up, that there was some.
So at that time it was I think at that time I made that skit was made up, but. I do get a lot of jealous couples or insecurities in a lot of men. And I have had a situation with a lady and her ex was like stalking her. And like she had came to me. So he was basically now stalking me, thinking I was like somebody else. And it was like a whole big small thing. But it was like the craziest thing that happened. I was like, you know, she had came directly from work. This is how I know she was stalked. She came directly from work to me, had a session, and this is an older lady. We leave, she leaves, you know, go live her life. I leave, I go to the movies. This is like later on in the day, you know. I come back home. I actually come back home to grab clothes because I'm about to go to a friend's house. I was just going to stay the night. And... like, I'm grabbing my clothes. I hear, like, this shooting outside, right?
Oh.
So, I'm like, I go outside because she's still sitting in the car. I was like, was somebody just shooting? It was like, yeah, that van just drove past and started shooting. So, like, I watched the cameras, whatever. And, yeah, but, like, when I looked at it, there wasn't shooting direct. They were, like, shooting at, like, a fence or something. I don't know. But, I knew where it all had came from. You know, it was just like too much of a coincidence. So actually, like, I had called her. I was like, hey, you know, your ex came by here or whatever. Like, he must have been following you all day and must have just been waiting for me to basically come home or whatever the case may be. But you could tell it wasn't intentional. It was more of try to scare.
A warning.
Yeah, like a scared thing. And I was like, you know, I got, like, a very different background than I show. You know, like, I came from a very different place than where I'm at now.
Right.
So you might want to tell them not to come back this way because it probably won't end well.
Man, this man a father. This man a fighter. I know you got that. Blacker, blacker, blacker.
You probably got you though.
Yeah, that blacker, blacker, blacker. So it was gonna be a whole lot of like that. Like my favorite, it's gonna be a whole lot of loud shit. You gonna hear a whole lot of loud shit come back around here, man. I respect that, man. Like, yeah. Man, gotta protect this home, man. Get out of here, man. All that insecure stuff. Because I deal with it too as a trainer. You know what I'm saying? I deal with insecure dudes having an issue with me. It's like, bro, you don't even like your girl. You don't even like her. You get on. She get on your nerves. You know damn well she get on mine.
Yeah.
Shit, I don't want her ass, man. I want her to come get this session, give me my money, and get out. That's all I want, bro. You know? I do not want your girl, playboy. You don't even like her. Leave me alone, man.
On the flip side, I get a lot of love too, though.
Yep.
Like I get some guys who send their women. They pay for the session,
right?
Or whatever. So it just really, I mean, I guess it varies person by person.
I'm glad you said that.
You're a secure dude to do that. You like, yo, bro, massage my girl. And I know you're going to get her warmed up. And then when she come home.
Exactly.
It's on.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It's on. Like, yeah.
I appreciate you saying that because I don't think I even considered that. I thought that would be crazy to think that a dude would send their girl.
Oh, no. Nah.
But I appreciate that's.
Once you get in this world, you start learning a lot about people.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
When I'm working, like, on the West Coast in, like, L.A.,
oh, it's a different vibe.
It's a different vibe. Like, I was like, oh, okay. They like, you know, can I bring my husband? And I was like, yeah, you know.
He gonna watch.
Yeah. Like, you know,
in the corner like this.
But no.
I took his girl out right there.
but no, it's more of that. It's more of, you know, they get the excitement from it, you know. And they like, you know, we'll pay you whatever, you know. And I'm like... oh. All right, you know, I mean, money moves there, and it's between y'all. This is the life y'all live.
Yeah,
somebody gonna market it. It's gonna get sold by somebody. I might as well get the money. I'm here.
Hey, I like the way this brother thinks.
Right.
Hey, man. So you said you got a different background. Would you care to elaborate about that? Like, what did you do And then how did you make that shift? Because now you present yourself like a gentleman, like a straight up, like upstanding citizen. So like, where did you come from? And then like, and how did you make that transition?
This is about to be my favorite part of the show. I'm not gonna lie to you, it is. So I grew up in Longwood Projects. Born and raised, spent my whole life there. And your mentality changed after a while. Actually, I always knew I was a person who wanted to be something that was cool. I knew I wanted to be someone. I was younger, I knew I wanted to be something. And, you know, a lot of my peers, they was cool. So it was like things I relate to them. Okay, I want to be like my peers because they cool, you know. But certain stuff and shit just wasn't fitting with me. Like, it wasn't for me. But at the same time, you know, growing up with a certain background, a certain place, you get that grit to you. You know, you have no choice to adjust to that. What changed everything was I ended up actually meeting my ex. She ended up living in Garfield. And she really did just really spent a lot of time. So I really was outside the hood as much as I used to be. And then you ever hear that phrase, like, when you don't talk to somebody for so long, it'd be hard to call them because it was like, I went so long without talking to you, what do I say now? Mm. Like, the longer it is, the harder it is. So, like, that was me, like, kind of going back. Like, okay, I ain't hung out with y'all in a year. Well, me just popping up, it just feel weird and whatnot. And then also, like, I lost a lot of friends. Like, I lost, like all my friends to either, like, you know, gun violence or, like, a long-term prison sentence. So when I looked around, I was like, damn, like, we really not making it, you know? And, like, I grew up in the last era of being able to fight, you know, like, be able to fight and, like, go home, you know? Like, yeah. I remember, like, when we was younger, we would fight, like, other hoods, like, 3 times a day.
Oh, man. Like, standard operating
procedure. Yeah, you know? And then every now and then, you know, it'd be a piece, and we'd go over there, and we'd hang out, and then it start, like, the summertime, it start all over again. But it was safe, you know, like it just was what it was. Like, he might got hit with like maybe a rock or something, like something that was foul play. But you lived, though. You had a battle wound and you lived, though. That's what it was. And, you know, with that 2012 to 20, well, it's still going now, but that 2012 era is when the gun violence really picked up and people started dying. And when that started happening, I started looking around as like my close circle of people that I grew up with, like my close peers. You know, it was dropping by the tens, the five. Like, it was just like, it was just crazy. And then I realized it needed to be something different. Like, we really wasn't, our people who idolized us, people that we idolized and people that we thought were in power, who was, they influenced us, really wasn't good influences. And we were being badly influenced because we wanted to be like them instead of them telling us to be better than what we are. So I wanted to be a change to that because, you know, when I talk to, you know, some of my youngest that I talk to, I'm like, you know, it's a different path you can go. But me being me, I don't ever believe nothing until I see it. You can't tell me nothing if you don't got it yourself or you can't show proof of it, whatever. So I had to be that proof of, hey, you can make it out the hood and not do hood stuff, you feel me? And, you know, still be a great person. You can be yourself and it's okay to be yourself. You don't have to be when anybody else wants you to be. And the one thing I did love about that is, like, my friends that I did grow with from the hood see what I do now, and they embrace it, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and you just never know how people going to take things, whatever, but they embrace it, and that lets other people know, like, whenever I talk to, like I say, young people, I'm like, hey, listen, like, it's the other path, and people will embrace it. Like, your people will embrace it. You know, they still your friends. You don't have to do what they doing for them to embrace what's going on.
Man, so I can relate to that on a whole different level, like, bro. So, like, I grew up on 120th Superior.
Yeah.
So it was like real hood for me. I got jumped into a little gang when I was like 19 years old. I never put no work in. I used to be like the dude just running around, like running errands, doing stupid stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Buying Doritos,
stuff like that. Like, but you know, I used to see some crazy stuff. Like, I seen somebody sell. I've seen a lot of dope selling. Yeah. I saw a lot of gun violence, different things like that. You know what I'm saying? I remember one time when I was in high school, and like I went to Cleveland Heights High because my parents, because I was always getting into fights and stuff in my hood school, like Mary Bethune and stuff like that, and those schools. So like my parents like, yo, you're not going to these schools. Like it's not working out. So they sent me to Cleveland Heights with my aunt. And so I used to always bring my friends to the hood. They love the hood. So it's the opposite effect
you were doing,
of you.
Yeah. Hood field trips. Yeah, hood experiences. Hood field trips.
Them dudes fell in love with the hood. Like they just love the hood. The hood stuff was like that. You know, they just love the excitement. It was always kids out in middle. Kids out at night. Different things. Chicks. It was all girls. Was always out. Fast girls. Different things. Guns. Drugs, smell of weed. They just was so excited about life. I'm like, y'all, this is not the life. This is not what I, you know what I'm saying? So that exposure that you got, probably in Garfield, just seeing something different is definitely, I would say, what set you apart, set you on the right track. Because me going to Cleveland Heights set me on the right track. Because, and when I was in the hood, going to class and stuff was lame. Going to school, doing your work and stuff was lame. But once I went to the Heights, it was the opposite. If you didn't get good grades, if you didn't dress a certain way, if you didn't do the right thing, that was considered, if you wasn't going to class, that was considered lame. Yeah. So like that kind of helped me have like a mental shift. And I was like, yo, I can focus on like sports and go to school. And I got to worry about trying to be tough all the time. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that definitely was big. But yeah, man, so I relate to that. And I think that, like, I'm glad you shared that story so other people can look like and be like, yo, I can make it out of that. But you said Longwood Projects. I know how they get down.
Yeah, it was real. Like, I just remember, like, the certain things that we did that was just, like, for, like, no reason at all. Like, it was, like, now I think about it, like, it was for no reason at all. Like, nobody told us to do it. We just was bored and just was like, oh, this is what to do right now. And it was like, man, that was terrible, you know, of us. And like how you said though, like you know, your heist friends want to go to the hood, whatever. So the one good thing was all the heist girls want to come down to the hood.
Oh, for sure.
So the girls that was in the hood, they was always kind of like, we love it here. You know, this is great. Like every day, every weekend, it was like, you know, then it was like, it was always fun. That's one thing about the hood, it's always fun. You live in the suburbs, it's so boring. It's boring. So quiet.
Man, yeah, me and my boys, we started sometimes dating girls from Beaumont. Beaumont and Regina, that was our neck of the woods, but we love them girls.
R.I.P. Regina.
Hey, R.I.P. Regina. Regina has some girls.
I appreciate you also speaking on, like, knowing who you are.
Yeah.
And being, I think, and it's kind of a similar theme to people we've talked to in the past, is, like, having that moment in your life where you know who you are, coming into your own, and then being confident in that. And I think a lot of people, I think that find themselves not knowing who they are or not knowing their purpose, end up doing some really, really stupid shit.
Especially like now. So I think now it's harder because, you know, social media influenced everything.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So, you know, the problem is like you don't want to do nothing wrong. But me, I'm like, well, I mean, I always tell people, when it comes to massages, some people gonna love it, some people gonna hate it. It's just what it is. Don't matter what you do in this world and who you are, some people gonna love it and somebody's gonna hate it, or somebody's gonna be against it. So just be yourself, because somebody's gonna love it and somebody's gonna hate it. It's just gonna be what it is. So just keep being yourself, and the people that you need around you that's gonna be best for you, they're gonna be attracted to you because y'all relate. But if you're trying to be something, eventually you can't be that forever. They gonna see through that. And you're going to start attracting people who like you for one thing. And when you show yourself, they're not going to like you no more because you never showed yourself in the beginning. Just be yourself.
Be yourself. Yeah. 100%. I agree with that, man.
James, be yourself, bro.
I'm always myself. To a fault where, like, I'm to the point where I'd rather be myself. Because if you like me, you do. If you don't, you don't. And I'd rather you just kind of, like, deal with that off the top. Like, I'm always going to be myself, bro. And then me being myself, like, I feel like I pull out people being themselves, too. Like, yeah. I make people feel like I'm gonna bring out my weirdness, like you, cause I'm weird. Like I'm an artist. I do marketing. I like to lift weights. You know what I'm saying? And I love to be a dad. Like I love like a couple of different things and things that I think most people wouldn't all necessarily agree with or things that align. But that's stuff that I like to do. You know what I'm saying? Like I love art and I love lifting weights. I like fighting too, so like I don't know, like so I just like a lot of different things. So I just like so I would just encourage everybody or anybody that's listening to like embrace yourself. Like Drake had one of the best lines I ever heard, and he's like, I'm transitioning from fitting in to standing out. And I think that like everybody kind of has to have that moment where you don't worry about fitting in. You just standing out on your own and being your own person.
That's exactly what it is.
You know what I'm saying? Because when you stand out, when you tap into yourself,
I remember that quote too.
Yeah, and your purpose, and you tap into yourself and your purpose, and you dig within. Now you're now you're making an impact into the world. I feel like when you're trying to be like everybody else, you're useless.
It's like, well, it's like a supernatural experience because we didn't just come about, you know. Yeah. So when we fall in line with what we're created to do, that's when things happen. It's like, whoa, I never thought I would achieve this, or I never thought I would experience this or have this effect on people, or you know, impact lives or whatever it may be.
Hey, this has been a deep interview, man. Like we went high, we went silly, we went low, we spiritual. Now we getting us into a TED Talk right now, bro. Right. I love it. I love it, man. So, Tyler, where can people find you at, man? What mediums are you on? Platforms are you using?
I'm using like pretty much everything right now, but Instagram mainly at Vitamin Mechanics. I know you don't have it like up there because nobody wants to type stuff in. So.
No, it's up there. We got you.
So they gonna add you. I do a little TikTok, but not really. You know, it's just TikTok algorithm is weird. Like
it's weird. I deleted my TikTok, bro. Yeah, I got off of it.
I just can't get with it. But that's pretty much it. You know, I made it on Twitter here and there, but mainly Instagram all day, every day.
All right, bet you guys catch me when he ain't punching people lights out.
Or change the oils.
Hey man, don't test my boy, man. Like you might catch him rubbing on your girl. Don't get to thinking stuff sweet. You know what I'm saying?
The girl says she needs to take the car to the shop.
Hey, you know what she about. Get that body work.
I appreciate you, man.
Appreciate your time, man.
No problem.